Is the second suktam in the third advarga. So we concluded last week with the first suktam in the third advarga. And I don't know about you, my mind cannot stop contemplating on the beauty of that forever and ever. The entire week only that only continues. How many different types of ultimately the ultimate thief is the one who takes away everything. There are two names given. One is a Hari, the other is a Hara. Hara means the one who takes away everything. Hari means the one who also takes away everything. Job description is the same. You understand? Hara means the one who destroys everything or dissolves everything. Hari means who takes away everything. Hari, Hara, same only. Now, what this Hari, Hara, whatever property that we have, or whatever money or whatever karma that we have, if you have property that is acquired too much, wealth or whatever acquired too much, there are three guys that are ready to take it away from you. The first is the government in the form of taxes. The second are the thieves that will come and steal them away from you. And the third is the fire that destroys everything. These are the three things that will come and take away any extra amount of fluff you have in your... I'm telling you very seriously. Not saying... This body has not subjected to any stealer so far in its life, nor its family. Because when the money that you are earning, sometimes what happens, the property comes because you have inherited it. Sometimes property comes in so many ways. Then what happens is, either you have to clean the fluff with paying taxes, or some fire will come and destroy, or the thieves will come and take away from you. If not anything else, God Himself will take it away from you. Because nothing will be left with you when you leave this body, isn't it? Who can claim here that when they die, they have ensured that all the property that they have left will be utilized for proper purposes? Nobody can. Nobody can ensure that. So, Hari, yes.
What about Baba?
What about Baba? You have been reading the story of Baba being accused of the thief. Theft? Yes? No? You have not heard the story? Yeah? Baba was inquired by for the guy who steals away jewels from house. Yes? Even Baba won't interfere with if you have too much property that you have acquired. Baba won't interfere and say don't pay taxes. Baba will ensure that you will pay taxes. Baba is very much for dharma. Oh, now that he asked the question, I have to share with you. For Baba's, Satya Sai Baba's 60th birthday, I believe, a celebrity, I believe the Prime Minister or President of Italy came to visit Baba. And for his 60th birthday, he came to see Baba and he wanted to give 60 gold coins from Italy. And Baba, when he called him into the room, he says, Swami, your 60th birthday, I brought this beautiful gold coins for you. And he opens up the gold coins and shows to Baba. You know what's the first question Baba asks him? Did you pay duty on this? Did you pay taxes on this? Did you declare it to customs or not? That was the question Baba asked. Baba is so much for dharma. Baba is so much for right living. You have to obey the code of conduct of the land you are living in, and you have to be doing that So Baba won't interfere with that. Okay? You understand? Yeah. Now the question you asked last week is still ringing in my mind. How do I get it back? How do I get the presence back? Now, this beautiful aspect about the thieves, I will conclude with this and then we'll move on to the next suttam of the third anuvagam. In the bigger context of things, the ultimate thing is to surrender your mind and your conscience at the feet of God. Which, hey, Saira, where are you going? Why you guys can't sit for 1 hour without going to bathroom? I see the kids going around during the bhajans, you get up and go to bathroom. What is this? If you have to do that, you have to go take care of yourself before you sit in the class or bhajans. Do not get up during the class, do not get up during bhajans and walk around, because it's not etiquette. You understand? During the class, you have to do that before. If you want to drink water or you want to take a break, before the class, take extra minute and do that. But during the class, if you get up and walk around, during bhajans, if you get up and walk around, it is disturbance to the people, especially if you sit in the front. Children, very important. Okay. Where am I?
Ultimate.
Okay. Ultimate thing is to surrender our mind and our intellect and everything at the feet of God. This is the inner meaning, the deeper inner meaning of this suktam that we have chanted. And Adi Shankaracharya, who is the ultimate in bhakti and advaita and Vedanta, in a beautiful composition called Sivananda Lahari, he says, I will read this shlokam for you, which summarizes this beautiful suktam in his words. Pralobhadyair ardhaharana paratantro dhanigruhe praveshod yuktasan bhramati bahudha taskarapate imam chetaschoram kadham yihasakhe shankara vibho tavadhinam kritva mayi niraparadhe kuru krupam. It's a beautiful composition in the Sivananda Lahari, where he is saying, you see, he is asking Shankara, my Lord, you see, this mind of mine, for the sake of pomp and show and all of this stuff, it wants to go to different places and it wants to steal things from others. Money from others, credit from others, something else from others. And it is constantly going and stealing other things from other people, and it is wandering around in different ways to enter into those people's homes and steal away things. I am not able to bear this anymore. Shiva, you are the Lord of all the thieves. Taskarapate. Taskaranam pataye. In this slokam he used the word taskarapate. Therefore he says, this is what I would like you to do. Can you please steal away my mind and keep it with you so that I don't have to do all these things anymore? Please make it under your control. Take my mind under your control. Steal it away from me. Therefore, I will remain as a niraparadhi. Means what? I am not guilty of going and doing all these things. Therefore, I surrender my mind at your feet. Take it away. He's not even saying surrender. He's saying, steal my mind away. Taskarapate. Steal my mind away. So that I am no longer committing any unwanted guilty things. You understand how beautiful that is? He summarizes the whole thing. What our mind is doing, constantly wandering around, trying to steal away something. Isn't it? Yes.
How do you stop it?
How do you stop it? Yes. That is the question. How do you stop it? We'll come to that next. Okay? How do we stop it? Yes, question.
So, Uncle, here the stealing, is it associated to desire? Or what is the thing that you're talking about?
Well, I went through so many things, right? Stealing. If you take credit in your workplace for the work that your team has done, and then you present it to executive management without giving credit to your team, who are you? Why do you do that? Because I want to be looking good in front of my CEO, my management. Therefore, many people present other people's work, other people's ideas, and they take credit for it. This is one type of stealing. There are other people that steal. So it's not that if you are a manager, you should present, but you should first give credit to the people that have really contributed to that work. Acknowledge them. Now, some people, actually, there are all other kinds of stealers. There are people that actually take beautiful writings of Baba and they write their own books taking his teachings and put their name on it. Who are they? Big kind of stealers. Another big kind of stealer. Then there is Guru Droham. When you actually learn something from a guru, and if you don't follow the word of the guru, for example, I'll tell you, even in this class, come and chant Ekadash Rudram every month, at least one Anuvakam, offer it to Baba for world peace. If your teacher had said that, and willingly you don't oblige on that, you are a stealer, you are a Guru Drohi. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I want to be very clear here. That's another type of stealing. Because you are receiving something from somebody and you are receiving it, but you are not being grateful for that. You are another type of stealer. You understand? All these different kinds of stealing our mind is engaged in. Some consciously, some subconsciously, some voluntarily, some involuntarily, some knowingly, some unknowingly, all these things, the stealing that the mind is committing, what you have to do, you pray to God and say, now this mind of yours doesn't belong to him, does it? Does it belong, your mind, does it belong? Just like your hair doesn't belong to, right? When you do gundu, you know, you don't have, So, similarly, whatever your thoughts, your mind doesn't belong to him. But you are telling him, take it away from me. Keep it under your control. Yes. Pranav, question? You forgot. Okay, now that's good. If you wait a little bit, so the question will get clear. Okay, so that is the context of this beautiful Anuvakam. But there is also another deeper meaning in this, which more philosophical. I know I don't want to bother a bit, but my mind, when it comes, before it comes here, it goes in so many ways in deeper contemplation. And I was stuck with this beautiful Sivananda Lahari slokam this morning. It just came across. I was, it comes across because there are so many of these great souls like Shankara. You know, Shankaracharya is not any stealer or a committer, right? He's a great, you know, realized soul. Why would he write a sloka like this in Sivananda Lahari? It is to point us towards the right direction. Okay? Pralobhadyair ardhaharana paratantro dhanigruhe priveshet uttaksan bhramati bhagudha taskarapate imam chetaschoram katham iha sahe shankara vibho tavadhinam krutva mayi niraparadhe kuru krupam. Please make me unguilty, taking away my mind, keeping it under your control. That's the beautiful conclusion of the first suktam of Namo Nama Nama Vushni Shine Giri Charaya Kulunchanam Pataye Namo Nama Yesho Adhyo Danva Vipyasya Vo Namo Nama Adanvanebhya Pratitadhanebhyascha Bho Namo Nama Ayachadhyo Krishajadhyascha Bho Namo Namo Sadhyo Vidyabhyascha Bho Namo Nama. So Ishumadhyo. Now you see this bhyo, those are tough when you are chanting. If you don't learn slowly and properly, when you are chanting fast, those notes and those letters won't be properly pronounced. Now I'll go through with you what are the exact words. Namaha Ishumadhyaha धन्वाविभ्यः च वः नमः. That is one yajus. Vo namo, right? When you are saying shchavo, right? Vidyadbhyashchavo. In that vidyadbhyaha cha o becomes vidyadbhyashchavo. Ishumadbhyo dhanvavibhyashchavo namaha. Now namaha namaha. Namaha ishumadbhyo dhanvavibhyaha cha vo namaha. That is first one. Second one, namaha atanvanebhyah pratidadanebhyah cha vo namaha. Each word. Nama ayachadbhyo visrujadbhyascha vo visrujadbhyah cha vo namaha. Namaha asyabhyah vidyadbhyah cha vo namaha. Now, who are all these bhyas, bhyas that are bothering us so much? Huh? Bhya means plural. Several people. That's much bhya. Bhya means, bhya indicates plurality. Ishumad bhyaha means prostrations to all those people that are carrying arrows. Ishumad bhyaha. Those that are carrying arrows, holding arrows. Also, prostrations to those dhanva vibhyaha means, you already know dhanva, dhanu, bows. Prostrations to those that are holding bows. Ishumadhyaha, dhanva vibhyaha means holding the bow. Now, atanvanebhyaha. Atanvanebhyaha means those that are stringing their bows. Atanvanebhyaha. Those that are holding arrows. Ishumadbhyaha. Those that are holding bows. Dhanvavibhyaha. Next one is Atanvanebhyaha. Those that are stringing their bows. Pratidadanebhyaha. Those that are now ready to discharge their arrows. Pratidadanebhyaha. Now, next one, asyadhyaha means that are ready to shoot the arrow. Vidyabhyaha, those that have hit already and make sure the arrow has hit their target. Wow. Why are we doing prostrations to all these people? Now that's the question. Who are we? Are you going around watching people carrying arrows, bows, and those that are ready to shoot, those that have already shot the target, those that are ready to string? Are you watching all these people? Hello, are we watching all these people? Yes or no? No, but yes we are. Yes we are, yes. How do we know? What? How? Yeah, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. That is the whole point. If you understood what is an arrow, what is a bow, you already, yeah, what is an arrow? A shoot. Yo. You are asking me a question, but I am asking you a question, buddy. I am asking you a question. You already know what an arrow is. What is an arrow? Only children, please don't understand that. What is an arrow? Only children, yes. Yes.
Me?
Yeah, no, yeah. You are not the arrow. I am asking you, raise your hand. What is the arrow you already learned?
Thoughts.
Give him a big hand, yes. Excellent. Thoughts. Yes. What is the bow?
Mind.
Yes. Do you see people carrying their thoughts?
No. Yes. In theory, yes.
In theory, yes. Otherwise, what? In theory. In practice also, they have to be thinking. Otherwise, yeah, what will happen? Disasters will happen. Yeah. Ishumadhyaha. Those that are holding the arrows. I salute to all those people that are holding thoughts. There are several just sitting in this room. There are several just sitting in this room. All these people are described. There are people that are just full of thoughts. They are just holding thoughts. They don't do anything with them. They are only very thoughtful people. Okay. They only have thoughts. They can't do anything with them. And now there are people with minds, yes? Mindful people. full of their own mind, not others' mind. Their own mind, others' minds, there are people carrying others' minds also. Yeah, you know, there are also that kind of people. Now there are people, now that's what, Atanvalebhyaha. There are people that are already stringing their minds with what? New thoughts. Shall I go buy the new Apple 8 or not? That is stringing their mind. Atanvalebhyaha. I'm sure somebody is thinking in this room about that. Yes? No? Okay. So far, so good. Atanvalebhyaha. Now, Pratidadanebhyaha. Some that are ready to shoot the arrow. Ready to shoot. Ready to shoot the arrow means they are ready to translate their thought into action. Now, those that are now not have already shot their arrow. That is what is called asyadhyaha. Now those that have hit the target of their arrow, that means accomplished, already had a thought that they have discharged and it hit the target and they accomplished the goal. All these people you are seeing in this beautiful world and you are saying salutations to all these people. Now why you have to salute to all these people that are simply thinking, carrying their minds ready to shoot? Why you have to salute to them? Huh? Why you have to salute to all these people? We'll come to that in a second. It's a beautiful inner meaning. Bhagavan is actually so compassionate. Eh? I cannot tell you how compassionate. Yesterday afternoon, I was just thinking about that. I was meditating on this mantra. I was just meditating on this mantra. Why all these things are described in this Anuvakam like this? Specifically dedicated to all these kinds of people, then for whatever reason, I don't know whatever reason, I begin to watch this Swamiji Sarvapriyananda from Vedanta Society Ramakrishna Math, and his lecture for 1.5 hours was exactly about this, nothing more than that. And I was saying, oh Swami, so incredible, you are giving me all the insight. Swami Sarvapriyananda, in a beautiful lecture called The Three Powers of the Mind, he describes exactly this what I am talking about. And I will come to that, how he describes this. Now, before that, now that you know who are all these people, let's do pranams to them one more time. Ishumadbhyo dhanva. Yes.
What about the meaning of
ayachadbhyo? Ayachadbhyo visrujadbhya. Ayachha means stretching the bow. First people, Ishumadhyo. Now, what is being described is basically a shooting mission. Very simple, right? In order for you to shoot an archer, what does an archer do? First takes the arrow, then takes the bow, then he is stringing the bow. Then once he strings, he is able to? Not yet. He puts the arrow on the string, then he stretches, ayachadbhyo. That is, ayachadbhyo means stretching the string. Visrujadbhyaschavo, release the string, release the arrow.
But why did you just string it though? Isn't it already pretty strong?
No, Rabban, in the olden days they don't have these priya, like, you know, ready-made.
But even when you're in a war, don't they already have them pretty strong?
Before the war, they string it. Not during the war, but they still...
No, it is not ready. Say, it is not tied all the time.
Technically, it is not. In olden days, technically it was not. They have to string it.
Every time.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Visrujat Bhyaschava means releasing the arrow. Once he releases, then Asyadhyaha. Not release the arrow everywhere. Asyadhyaha, towards a target. Vidyadhyaha means hitting the target. Bhyaha means people, several people, not one person. Ishumadbhyaha. Several people carrying. Now, that is what is being described. Now, think about how your thought process works. Exactly like that. Exactly like that. Now, this thought process is what is described. First, you get a thought, you are not even aware of the thought. Do you know that I have a thought? And I have to now string it, launch it, nothing. What are we doing? Already shooting. Many of the time without aim. No targets. We are simply carrying a lot of arrows and simply shooting, wasting so much energy. They are not going anywhere. What is being described in this mantra is very beautiful. Yesterday, that is what Swamiji was explaining. Very powerful. Very powerful aspect of thought process, what he was describing is, he starts off with saying that Duryodhana, the question that was asked of him once was, this Gita in Mahabharata, the war Krishna has given Bhagavad Gita, which is the great song of spiritual advice to Arjuna. And now the question that was asked of was, he wasted time giving only to Arjuna, but Duryodhana is the bad guy. Why he is giving spiritual advice to a good guy? The bad guy is the one that needs to be cured, isn't it? When you want to cure the society, you have to go to the bad guy and then you have to teach him, hey, behave properly, do this nicely, etc., etc. Then you will be transforming the society. What's the point of giving Gita Bodha to the good guys like all of you? Is there any point of that? There is no point of giving good advice to people, no, that are already good. So that was the question. And then Krishna says, I have already done that. Before I gave the huge Bhagavad Gita, I went to Duryodhana, Dushyasana, all these guys tried to tell them, hey, give them one piece of land, they will all be happy, please listen. Lot of time was spent by him. And then Duryodhana tells him, oh Krishna, thank you for all your advice. What you are saying is right. I am a bad guy. I know I am doing bad things. And I know I should not be doing these things. But what can I do? I can't control my mind. I can't do anything. You are wasting your time telling all of this to a guy who can't control his mind. So go away. The difference between a Duryodhana and an Arjuna was, Arjuna also said the same thing during Mahabharata war to Krishna. He said, my mind is so disturbed, Krishna. I can't control my mind. But instead of saying, I can't control my mind, go take a hike, what Arjuna said was, what should I do about it? That is the question that he asked. What should I do about it? That's the difference between good people and wicked people. It's not that the wicked guy doesn't know that he is not wicked. Of course he knows that he is wicked. But he doesn't want to do anything about it. But the good person, the spiritual person, will ask the question, now that I am aware of it, like my buddy asked, my Tambi, Nala Tambi asked last week, how do I bring the presence back? That was the question. That's the most important question. How do I bring the presence back? So you are aware of your thought. Now this is the beauty of what the context of coming back to Ishumadhyo Dhanva Vibhyaschavo Atanvane Bhya Pratidadane Bhyaschavo Nama Ayachadhyo Visrujad Bhyaschavo Asyadhyo Vidyad Bhyaschavo Nama. Now, this thought process is, if you are aware of all these steps in your thought process becoming actions, what would you do differently? First you should be knowing I got a thought. Then what do you do with it? Should I take my bow or not? Should I use my mind to do something with this thought or not? So you have a decision to make. You have this power of choice now. I have an arrow. I have the bow. Should I use the bow for this arrow or not? 99% of the people fail in that only. Because most of the time, you don't have even an idea that you got a thought. Yes? Are you following, Tambi? Are you following? Yes. Very important. Since you asked the question, you listen carefully. When you get a thought and you have the mind, first question is, should I use my mind to do something with this thought or not? That's the first choice you have to make. And in the choice, there is a beautiful gap. Yeah? there is a beautiful gap. In that gap, that split second, how do I get that gap? That's the next question. Yeah? Now, you see, how do you make that decision? That decision point is where 99% of the people fail. But once you decide to do something with it, once you decide to do something with it, then what you have to do? You have to string the bow. You have to make sure your mind is connected and it has proper tension. Not too much tension, too less tension. Depends on how far the thought has to go. Then you have to focus. You have to concentrate on what? The target. You have to concentrate on the target. And then release your thought to become the action to hit that target. Yes? I know my hands is hurting. Are you all connected to this? Are you all connected? This is the beautiful part of, see how Rudram is even talking. Now, what these people describe, all the pundits related to Rudram, how they describe, oh, there are all these Rudras that are carrying all these arrows and bows, they are deadly weapons, now go pronounce to them. No, no, that's not what Rudram is talking about. Rudram is not talking about all these people, you have to terrorists, you have to go bow to them. No, that's not what the Rudram is talking about. Rudram is not talking about any, Rudram is about a self-spiritual process of connecting to yourself, the most supreme mantra that connects you to yourself. In the context of the reflection becoming perfection. The reflection is now becoming perfection. And the perfection of thought, perfection of what thought you should use, whether you should use or not. Now, tell me, what's the question?
What if you're using your thoughts to hurt a person?
That is the decision. Should I use my thought or not? What is the first step I said? What's the first step?
Decision.
Power of decision. You have the power. Nobody else has the power. You have the power to decide. Should I use this thought or not? Nobody else can decide for you. I'll come to that later. What if I release what?
Would you be able to stop it again?
Would you be able to stop again? Yeah, good luck. Okay. You need a Krishna who will take it on the other side and not hurt people. Yes, I'll come to that. That also is described in the mantras. Yes? Any question? No question? Answered? Not answered. Do you have a question? No. Anybody else? Yes.
Isn't it the mind that keeps me aware of a thought that is coming in? So if I'm saying, if my thought comes in, something that could tell me that, isn't it that the mind?
Ah.
How can I engage my...
Very good. Another beautiful question. Actually, it is not. It is not the mind that tells you you got the thought. It is the heart that tells you you have the thought. When you start operating with your heart, and the reality, the truth is, that 99% of the time, our heart is at work, the spiritual heart, not the heart like I'm talking, the heart. The spiritual heart is at work. And that spiritual heart already tells you, meaning, when you get a thought, there is something inside you that tells you, hey, this is not a good thought. This is not a bad thought. You know, you should not be taking this up. Who is telling that? Not the mind. It's not the mind that is telling you. It is the conscience that is inside you. That's heart that is telling you. And 99.99% of the people, hey, can you please leave me alone? Yeah. Okay. Why my target keeps moving, I don't know. You keep moving my target. So, 99% of the time, inside us, there is an inner voice that is telling you, don't think like this. Who is thinking? The mind? The mind is thinking. The mind is already attached to that thought. But something is already telling beyond the mind. Yes?
Is that buddhi? Can we call that buddhi?
Well, call it whatever you want. Call it 911. Call it whatever name you want to call it, call it. Call it remind me, my lord, my alarm clock, whatever. Call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter what you call the tool. The point is to recognize the tool. point is to recognize that these tools are already present right now in study circle. We are discussing how a human birth is the most noblest. And this is Priya. See, Bhagavan does this so perfectly. How this discussion exactly ties into study circle, amazing. How he actually, he is the mastermind. He is already creating all of this stuff around us. But we lost our presence to this master. And when you are present to that master and allow the master to say, you choose, not my mind, but he will use your mind to launch your thought. That's a different story. I'll come to that later. Ishumadbhyo. Now is this clear? Ishumadbhyo dhanva vibhyaschavo adanvanebhyaha pratidadanebhyaha ayachadbhyaha visrujadbhyaha visrujadbhyaha then asyadbhyaha vidyadbhyaschavo. Now that's the beautiful four aspects. Now chant those and I will go to the next one.
Ishumadbhyo dhanva vibhyaschavo namo namah adanvanebhyah pratidadanebhyaschavo namo namah ayachadbhyo visrujadbhyaschavo namo namah sadbhyo vidyabhyaschavo
आसीनेभ्यः
आसीनेभ्यः
शयानेभ्यश्च वो
शयानेभ्यश्च वो
नमो नमः
नमो नमः
स्वपद्यो
स्वपद्यो
जाग्रद्भ्यश्च वो
जाग्रद्भ्यश्च वो
नमो नमः
नमो नमः
नमो नमः सो इट बिकम्स नमो नमस्तिष्ठद्भ्यो
तिष्ठद्भ्यो
दावद्भ्यश्च वो
दावद्भ्यश्च वो
नमो नमः
नमो नमः
सभाभ्य
सभाभ्य
सभापतिभ्यश्च वो
सभापतिभ्यश्च वो
नमो नमो
नमो नमो
अश्वेभ्यो
अश्वेभ्यो
अश्वपतिभ्यश्च वो
अश्वपतिभ्यश्च वो
नमः
नमः
देन दोज आर द फाइव यजुस इन द next part of the sutta. Let's go through those.
So we talked about, you know, the gap where we have to make a decision. And we talked about how if you decide to do something, there are a few steps. What if you decide not to do something? Because a lot of the time,
yes,
if you don't act on something,
yes,
things are okay.
Yes, that is the choice you have to make. So the first one is the, I talked about two powers now, right? The first power is the power of decision or choice. The second is the power of focus and concentration. Once you decide, that is the second power. Hitting the target, in order for that you need to have immense focus and concentration. Not everybody has that. In fact, the only difference between great people and ordinary people is great people have such immense focus that they have such an immense focus that they won't let go of their target. And this is very important in sports. In sports, what happens? I think I shared this with you guys before, right? I was traveling with Pete Sampras one time on the aeroplane, and he was next to me, and I was asking him, man, how do you actually see even the ball coming into the court when Andre Agassi is serving against you? And now you know how old I am. Now, because if Andre Agassi is on my side and if he serves the ball, I wouldn't be even seeing the ball. It comes and goes, oh man, the ball came and went. What happened, right? Now, some in the cricket analogy also, if a fast bowler is bowling like that, a sharp fellow like Sachin Tendulkar is going to hit a sixer. How is he able to do that? You won't be able to because you won't be even seeing the ball. Oh, the ball came and it went. What's the difference between you and a Sachin Tendulkar or a Pete Sampras? Only one difference. The focus and the concentration is so immense on the ball. They can see the ball before it is released. That is the power of focus. Yes.
What is the target?
What is the target? The target is, what do you do? What is the target when you play soccer?
The goal.
The goal, yeah. And what is it, the target when you play basketball? The basket, yeah, the hoop, that's it. There is no other target, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, similarly, if you are studying and you have to get good marks, what is the target?
Test,
exactly. You have to get marks, good marks, no remarks. Okay, so that's the what we, so the only, so whatever you are doing, once the mind engages and it says, I am taking the thought, I am going to now shoot, then you are so focused and the power of focus to reach the target. That is the most important thing. So those are the two powers that are talked about. The next thing you are asking about is coming in the next one. Yes.
Then where does the thought go?
Where the thought is going into action. The thought becomes action. You understand? So supposing you have an exam. Then you say, I have a thought. I have to study. That is a thought. Then what you do? You take the book. And now you're putting the book. You're studying. And when you're studying, my God, text messages will be, now you see, this is very important for this. Nowadays what the kids do, they have this stuff hit in their ears and now they have the book and now what they're doing, they have not only music coming into their ear and now they will be taking the book and suddenly some text message comes, oh, now go back again, now go back. What are they doing? There is no ayaschadhyo, visuryat bhaschava, no target, nothing, no focus. The mind is distracted in so many different ways. Now very important, that is what this is. The moment you decide to execute a thought into an action, now I won't be completing the next anuvakam. Now very beautiful questions they are asking. Now what I am saying is, the thought is, I have an exam, I have to study. That is a thought. Then studying is the action. And when you are studying, no video games, no listening to music, no nothing. You are so focused on it. And the human mind has a power of concentration of 150 bits per second. That is the concentration of the mind, power of the mind. 150 bits per second. And this 150 bits per second, if they are all focused on the textbook, then what happens? You are able to achieve the target of passing the exam with the least effort that is put, period. And if this 150 bits are split into listening to some stupid fellow in the ears, watching some text messages on the phone, doing something in between, or getting bored and playing video game, 150 bits is split into 15 bits for each activity. Therefore, none of the focus has gone into the work you are doing. The moment you decide, I have to study, put everything aside, study. And that applies to adults also. The moment you have to do some work, service activity, or you have to do your project work, whatever it is, focus, get it done, then you will save a lot of time for washing vessels at home, etc., etc. Okay, Sairam, Yishwadhyo, and then we'll close. I haven't gotten time to complete. Next 2 weeks, there won't be class. I'm blessed to be part of a beautiful Rudram 11 event. And today morning only I got the note, 300 people from 22 European countries are coming to participate in a Rudram event on March 3rd and 4th in Zagreb. So I'm really excited and grateful to Baba for that. Please join on the prayers also on Rudram 11, March 4th. Maybe you should all chant Rudram once before on that Sunday and offer it for world peace. So we will continue with the rest of the third and welcome later. Ishwadhyo.
Yishuvadhyo dhanvadibhyascha vo namo namah asanvadibhya pratidadanibhyascha vo namo namah ayachadhyo visujadhyascha vo namo namah sadhyo vidyadhyascha vo namo namah.